Hey, hello, and welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent Young. I'm here with my good friend, Alan Small, and we are excited to be a part of your day. We appreciate you taking some time today to listen to this. And if you're not real familiar with Enduring Churches, we, Alan and I have a heart to coach and encourage and consult you as a pastor or leader in your church and help your church to endure, to grow, and to do the best that you possibly can. And so, Alan, today we're going to be talking about a topic I think that will help, especially somebody who's going to a new church. Give us an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I was talking to someone recently who was asking a question. They were a fairly new pastor in a church that was well over 100 years old. And they had specific questions that were geared toward, what do I do? Because I'm afraid things aren't going to happen as fast as I want them to, which at least they were smart enough to recognize that. Yeah. And I had put down a few, just a few thoughts. And I thought that those few thoughts would be a great springboard for us, you and I, to have a conversation about that, because we have been in that situation. We have pastored some churches that have been around a little while. And, you know, it is different pastoring a church that has a long, long track record versus a church that is brand new or relatively new. And so you have to be prepared for what you're walking into when you walk into a church that is an older church.
Well, and Alan, I'm really glad that you said that you had a conversation with this guy. And I want to, I guess, just remind the people that are listening that most of our topics that we talk about come from things that you and I have experienced, or as we talk with pastors and leaders around the country, things that we learn from them, or questions that other people have. And so this is real world. This is life. And so, yeah, we want to help you. If you're moving into a new church, or if you have been at a new church, been at a church for a little while, and it is an older church. Alan, you've been on the church planting side more than I have, but there are some things you got to keep in mind.
Well, I've been kind of in both situations. You know, I've been in a couple of churches that are over 100 years old. I went back for the church, one church's 100th year anniversary. Or actually, I think it was 125th anniversary. But I've been back for some ceremonies like that. But I've also been a part of brand new movements, and so they are quite different. Both dynamics you've got to be prepared for.
That's absolutely right. It's a different culture. I've been more in the established churches as a pastor. Before that, as a college minister, every year was like being in a church plant. So it's things you got to keep in mind. And so today, Alan, let's kind of talk through some things that you need to be aware of, and maybe the way that you deal with change and how you implement things.
Right. We might mention to people, if you want to go back and hear more about the subject of change, episode 12, Dying for a Change. That's catching us way back in our early days. With this podcast, now that we've been at this over a year, we're so seasoned in that. You know,
I feel like
seasoned. Little salt, little pepper, stick a fork in us, we're done.
But it's right.
But we talked a lot about change, but the older the church is, the longer the church has been there, the longer change is going to take. And you've got to be patient. You've got to go in with a patient mindset. If you go in thinking you're going to turn things around overnight, you've already kind of kicked dirt on your grave.
I think that's absolutely right, Alan. And I think one of the best things that was taught to me, and I've tried to pass this on to other pastors, is, you know, your first year, if you're thinking you're going to go in and you're going to make wholesale changes to your church and the way that it functions, you're dreaming. Especially in an established church, the best thing that you can do your first year is you go spend that year listening to people, getting to know people, finding out the stories of your church and how that it came to be and who has been the leaders. And the more that you listen, the more that you'll be patient and the more people will respect you.
You know, if I could go backwards in time in ministry, one of the things I would like to do is learn to ask more questions. And we've done a podcast about asking good questions, but I think it's important for us to ask questions and learn why things are the way they are. If you know the why, it makes you easier to move to a new why. And I think that's really helpful when you think about change. And so go in not with the answers, go in expecting to ask questions. And that'll help you see the changes that need to be made over time instead of taking your idea of what changes need to happen going in, and you'll do a lot better. Because the second part of all this is really a huge statement. And Trent, I know it's been said to you. It was said to me too. We were here before you got here, and we'll be here after you're gone. And believe it or not, pastors, that's usually true.
That's right. It is true. And, you know, when people say that, especially if you're the young guy coming in and you're planning to make change, you know, Alan, my attitude is like, I want to bow up and say, well, I don't care. I'm still going to do what I want. And that, I mean, I've, thank God I've learned a lot since then, but that was my attitude the first time I heard that.
Yeah, I was really defensive. I thought, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. You know, you don't expect me to stick around. Well, you know, there is track records of pastors staying on, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in churches and moving on. So they'd lived that, you know, they'd had four pastors over the last 10 years that said, hey, I'm going to be here till I retire and leave after 2 years. And maybe it has something to do with the church's attitude, but maybe it has something to do with our attitudes in ministry as well. But your attitude toward that statement will be reflected in the changes that you choose to make and how you lead the church. If you bow up against that statement, you are already putting a distance and a gap between you and your people. You have to remember they have lived that experience, and that is a really important thing to remember. You know, every pastor goes to a church saying they're going to be there for the long haul, and it doesn't often turn out that way. And so if they're a little bit skeptical of you and your leadership, it's been earned over proven history. And so how are you going to respond to that question? I think that's really important.
Well, and we tend to take that question as saying something about us when, just like you said, Alan, it's really saying something more about the guys who've come before you and what has happened in the past. And, you know, I don't remember the exact amounts, but, you know, we had heard that in some denominations that the typical stay of a pastor was 14 to 18 months to 24 months. And we've talked about this in several podcasts in the Pastor Poker, when we talked about the need to stay a long time to earn chips to make big plays. And you don't really become the pastor of those people until you've been there 4, 5, 6 years. And so that's why we do what we do, Alan.
Yeah, and I think that brings us to the next thing. The only way you change that statement, we were here before you and we'll be here after you're gone, the only way you change that statement is by you staying a long time and by you doing a lot of funerals. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just true. you know, once you have outlived people in the church, that attitude goes away. But it's really not until you outlive the people who have that attitude.
Yeah, that's right, Alan. I did have a pastor who said that he was a couple of funerals away from being able to do some really cool things. And I've heard that more than once. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I understand you want to do some changes and there are some people that are holding you back. But understand that this is their church and this is their life. And so having the right attitude about it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And if you really do go in with the idea you're going to stay and that you're going to endure in that place, you know, then you are going to see a change of leadership over time. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, when I look around my church, I can see the change of leadership. If I step kind of back away from it. I recognize a lot of the people who were leaders when I first came, you know, they have either kind of moved out of the leadership roles because of age and health issues, or they have moved on to their heavenly reward. And you know, it changes, and it changes the dynamic. And I will tell you that sometimes you think that'll always change it for the better, and it doesn't always change it for the better. Sometimes it's hard to raise up new leaders. And
that's right.
That struggle just as well. Mm-hmm. So, and that one's on you. You know, you don't get to blame that on the rest of the church. It is up to us to build and prepare to prepare those new leaders.
Well, and Alan, as you're saying that, I guess I'm reminded that the longer that you stay there, the more that your attitude about some of those folks will change to where, instead of having animosity toward them, you're really going to, the more you get to know them, the more that you spend time with them, you're going to learn to love them. And some of those people are keeping you from hurting yourself by making some changes too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Something that we don't want to forget, because I think we all kind of teeter on the edge of that sometimes. I know I do.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the next thing that I think is really important, especially I've seen this to be true in smaller towns, you know, where I'm pastoring is in a small town and my church is an established church. But I think it's really important that you make yourself as much the community's pastor as much as just your church's pastor. Alan, I know that you've gotten a chance to do that because of your work at the school.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, in fact, just to plug another former podcast, episode 11, Pastoring Your Community, we talked a lot about this and some ways you can do that. But, you know, the more you ingrain yourself into your community, the more that people outside your church know you, it kind of goes back to that idea of the pastor poker, which was our second episode, and all the chips that you get more chips. Mm-hmm. You get more credibility in making changes when you are beloved in your community and you're known in your community.
Yeah. You know, Alan, you and I have both been at our churches, what now, 12 years or so. I love that, you know, people that don't necessarily go to my church, but they all know me, and at the grocery store, they all talk to me and they're like, "Hey, will you pray about this?" And I'm like, absolutely. And we laugh together. We've been to ball games together, all those things that make being a part of a town fun. And so, you know, Alan, like I said, Alan has gotten to coach at his school. I've gotten to be a part of the Chamber of Commerce, and we both have been servants. I think that's one of the keys to this, is making yourself available to be a servant. When you help somebody who's needing to grow another organization, maybe a school or whatever, you're blessing them, and then it turns around to be a blessing to you.
Well, and you know, in this time, Trent, when we think about the pandemic and all the stuff that small communities are going through, and you know, that little small restaurant in town that's on the borderline of losing its business, you know, we need to love on those businesses right now. We need to love on our communities right now and support our local communities as much as possible. And that's, you know, that's one of the things our team was talking about this past week. How can we be a blessing to our community on the other side of all, during and on the other side of all this pandemic stuff? And it's a great opportunity right now. The fields are ripe with harvest if we will get out there and remember that the community is our mission field for our local church.
Yeah, that's right. I've been talking to you know, some of the ladies that work in one of our local gas stations, you know, the convenience stores, and you know, they've been dealing with all this, trying to keep themselves healthy as they, you know, have people coming in. And so just going in and saying, "Hey, I know that probably nobody's asked you, but how are you doing? You know, and how can I pray for you?" That opens up a lot of doors. And, you know, finding out about their families, even if they don't ever come to your church, just being there to minister to them. And especially during this time when people are a little bit freaked out, they're worried and stressed, and some are struggling with finances. It's an opportunity to open some doors.
Yeah, we want to think about our communities and pastor your community. So again, episode 11, Pastoring Your Community. I thought that was a really good podcast with some real practical ideas if you don't know what to do or where to turn with that. You know, Trent, the next thing is, and you and I like to do this at each other's expense a lot, but laugh at yourself a lot because many older churches take themselves way too seriously. So set a good tone there. Man, Trent, I have really come out looking pretty silly over the years. How about you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I tell people all the time that there are a lot of times when I've had athlete's tongue. You know, I've stuck my foot in my mouth so many times. And here's one of the things, you know, not only laughing at yourself, but be okay with apologizing or saying that you've messed up, owning up to the fact that you've blown it. That goes a long way with your folks. If they've been there for a long time and they've seen other pastors blame them and everybody else when things didn't go right, it's refreshing to them, I think, for you to say, no, this is all on me. I messed up. And they're like,
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And laugh at yourself. You know, my first pastorate was in the country. I grew up in the city. You know, Trent, you kind of grew up with the country aspect. I did not know what to expect around farmers and you know, cotton and, you know, the sound of frogs in the middle of the night after a rainy night. I was like, what in the world are all those goats doing? And they were frogs. And, you know, you gotta, and the church would just laugh at me sometimes over my lack of awareness of what really takes place out in the country. And if you'll laugh at yourself a little bit, guess what they'll do? They'll laugh at themselves a little bit. And so, you know, it's important for us to set a good tone with that stuff. A couple of the kids noticed this past Sunday when I was preaching that I was referencing Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread. And I said, Satan came to Jesus and said, why don't you turn these rocks into stones? And, you know, if you can't laugh at your own mistakes, I mean, that's just really a pretty stupid statement when you think about it. So, and we all have them, right? If you can't laugh at yourself, you're really just not going to last in ministry anyway, because, you know, look in the mirror, you're not perfect.
Well, I'm always amazed. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I'm just flat amazed that God would choose to use me, because I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. You know, we have t-shirts now for our church that says we're a mess. You'll fit in just fine. So to me, I'm amazed that God would choose to use me, because I'm more likely than not to mess up his message. But I'm thankful that he can work in spite of me.
So true. I echo that sentiment a lot. Well, if there was one last thing we would want to say, Trent, what do you think that would be as far as, you know, pastoring one of these older churches?
Well, I think this is really good. And you put this in our notes, it's to be visible. You know, I've seen the opposite of this. I've seen guys come in and they're like, well, I really want to study. And it's like, well, I get that, you know, and you do want to study and do a good job, but don't be stuck in your office. You get out there and you have coffee and hang out with people and go to the ball games and just be there with people. Because as we said, you're pastoring the community. And so the community needs to get to know you.
If a quarantine comes along and nothing changes in your life, you're not doing what you need to be doing. Don't be a quarantine pastor when there's no quarantine going on. You know, be visible. Let people see you. I remember a professor that I had in seminary. He had been a missionary. He came back and was pastoring a church, and he bought himself a bright yellow old school Mustang. He wanted people to know where he was at all times. Mm-hmm. So he had this bright yellow Mustang. He would drive around town and, you know, if he's at the laundromat, people could see him there. And, you know, if he's at the convenience store, people would see him there, you know, and he had this bright yellow Mustang so that he would be visible throughout town. And that was something that was important to him. And so, you know, do something to be visible. For me, it's the coaching. For you, it's being involved with your town's chamber of commerce. But find some way to make sure that you are readily visible in your community. Go to ball games. Do things that capture people's imagination of who you are.
There's lots of opportunities to do this, Alan. I was thinking, you know, that both you and I moved to our respective churches when our kids were still in school. And honestly, that was one of the best blessings because it automatically gave you a reason to be together with people and to be seen. Now, I will have to tell you that there are times when I had to apologize afterwards at a ball game because I'm shooting my mouth off. But
basketball games get pastors. I gotta tell you. Oh golly.
Yeah. I griped out a teenager who was reffing a little kid's basketball game. I had to apologize to him afterwards. And I apologized to my church afterwards too. It's like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, kind of got off. But, you know, if you're asked at a ball game to, pray or to announce or do something, then get after it. You know, even if it makes you a little uncomfortable, get out there you know, as long as it's not morally wrong, then, you know, help out your community and be visible in front of them.
Yes. Invisible doesn't work. Visible works. So don't be locked up with your books to the exclusion of being a visible pastor out there. So those lessons hopefully will help you stay strong and set a good tone and last in a church that has been around a lot longer than any of us have been alive. Well, Trent, do you have any closing words for us today?
Yeah, Alan, I really just want to, I guess, encourage our listeners to keep in mind that the reason that we do this podcast is because we do want you to do well in ministry. We want your church to do well and we want you to last in your ministry position. We want your church to continue on. I don't know if you realize it, but there are churches every single day that are closing their doors. And we want your church to do well. And so we provide a consultation. We can come in and visit with you. And it's not to put you down, but it's to help you to find things that you might want to consider. We want to coach you. We want to help you to grow and the things that you do and to be an encouragement to your church and your leadership in your church as well. So you can find out more about us at enduringchurches.com or on our Facebook page, just search Enduring Churches. And please get in contact with us because we want to help you do well for the long term.
Well, Trent, I appreciate that. Thank you for those reminders for all our listeners out there. And we do. We love churches. We love pastors. And we are so blessed to be able to do this. So please join us on our next episode. And we can't wait to get back together with you. We're going to talk next time a little bit about marketing your church, should you even do it. And so I know you'll look forward to that conversation. And we will catch you on the other side.